The Bible provides numerous warnings about our actions and future events. However, one verse is often considered the most frightening in the Bible, Matthew 7:23, which states, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In his most famous message, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus focused on the hearts of his listeners, addressing his words primarily to the disciples. This is the conclusion of a long and excellent sermon, with the primary aim of highlighting the vital necessity of obeying Christ's commandments. If Jesus only sought recognition from people, that would be sufficient. However, something more is required. Jesus emphasizes that merely professing religious beliefs externally, no matter how impressive, is insufficient to gain entrance into heaven. Something more is essential. All judgment is given to Jesus. He has the power to prescribe new terms of life and death and to judge people accordingly. Jesus warns us about the importance of true and sincere obedience. In Matthew 7:21, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus makes it clear that it is not enough to call him Lord without actually following his commandments. Often in our prayers or conversations, we refer to Christ as Lord, which is appropriate because he is our Lord. However, using this term merely as a formality does not guarantee us entry into heaven. God knows our hearts and desires, genuine substance, not just external demonstrations of respect. People often exchange greetings, but these are mere polite gestures, not actual acts of service. Therefore, they cannot be considered valuable in the eyes of Christ. We may repeatedly ask for something in prayer, but if our internal thoughts and feelings do not align with our external words, we are nothing more than a noisy instrument without real purpose. In Matthew 7:22, Jesus says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Jesus clarifies that on the great day of judgment, everyone will reveal their true nature. All the false beliefs sinners currently hold will be exposed for all to see. Despite their fervent beliefs, their pleas will be useless. They will plead urgently, invoking the Lord's name and appealing to Christ's knowledge of their situation, but their efforts will be in vain. Jesus mentions that many prophesied, cast out demons, and performed many miracles in his name. However, even those who perform these deeds can be wicked people. Judas, for example, cast out demons, and yet was the son of perdition. In 1 Corinthians 13:1-2, we read, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing." This shows us that grace and love are more excellent than performing miracles. Grace will take us to heaven without miracles, but miracles will not take us to heaven without grace. Jesus emphasizes that relying on external privileges and performances can deceive us and lead to eternal destruction. In Matthew 7:23, Jesus declares, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." He rejects those who behave in a wicked manner, regardless of their reputation for piety. Those who hide immoral behavior behind a facade of respectability will suffer the consequences. Jesus did not desire the presence of these guests during his time on earth, but when he returns in glory, he will turn them away. Christ only accepts those who serve him beyond mere profession. Those who profess faith superficially will be rejected on the final day. In Matthew 7:24-27, Jesus gives us a clear example. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The primary purpose of this parable is to teach us that the only way to ensure our salvation is to hear and practice the teachings of Jesus. Like Mary, we must sit at Christ's feet in submission to his word. Our priority should be to secure our place in heaven, preparing for eternity rather than focusing solely on the things of this world. Many profess hope in heaven, but they place their hopes on a foundation of sand, trusting in worldly prosperity or an external profession of religion. This is a foolish decision. Only Christ is the solid rock upon which we should build our hope. Jesus emphasizes that it is not enough to know God superficially. It is crucial that God knows us in a personal relationship. As Paul explained, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." 1 Corinthians 8:3. The Lord cares for his flock as a shepherd, Isaiah 40:11, and knows his sheep, John 10:14. Jesus warns that one day he will say to certain religious practitioners, "I never knew you, depart from me." Matthew 7:23. God does not delight in sending people to hell. In judgment, those who try to justify themselves based on their works will be condemned. True salvation comes from knowing and being known by Jesus. Jesus asserted that everyone will face the final judgment, where he will be the judge. Salvation is based on our genuine relationship with him, not just on verbal confessions or spiritual achievements. Jesus is the judge, and the keys of heaven are in his hands. Being separated from Christ is the essence of hell. Only united with Christ can we find eternal life. Apart from him, all is lost. Our true faith in Christ is tested by obedience to God's commandments. Simply saying, "Lord, Lord," is not enough. We must follow and obey the Lord's commandments. Those who are truly born again have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, helping them understand and follow the Father's will, Romans 8:9. The love of God in our hearts motivates us to obey and serve others, Romans 5:5. Once the door is closed, it will never open again. We cannot ignore this sermon, for it was given by God. We must submit to his authority, for we will all be judged. In Matthew 7:28, 29, we read, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Jesus taught with authority, and his words were commands, unlike the scribes. The question is how to serve God acceptably. We cannot serve God according to our own terms, but according to his revealed will. In Hebrews 5:7, we see that Jesus prayed with reverent submission, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. We must show reverent submission by saying to the Father, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt, thy will be done." Matthew 26:39. This involves renouncing our own will and accepting God's will. In 2 Chronicles 15:14 15, we see the importance of genuine dedication to God. "And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." True dedication to God involves sacrifice. Sometimes obedience can be inconvenient, but it is necessary to walk in God's blessings. Daniel is an example of sacrifice, risking his life to maintain his dedication to God in prayer, Daniel 6:10. The truth is that some people who are frequently seen in God's house have hearts that are far from him. We must be sacrificial in our walk and work with God, dedicating our time, skills, energy, and resources to advancing God's kingdom on earth. The Bible is filled with examples of God's sovereignty and the necessity of human obedience. In Deuteronomy 6:4-5, we read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." This commandment of absolute and total love for God is the foundation of all our obedience. In the New Testament, Jesus reaffirms this commandment as the greatest of all. Matthew 22:37-38. He teaches that love for God must be genuine and that true obedience flows from this love. Love and obedience cannot be separated. They are interdependent and reinforce each other. James 2:17 teaches us, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." This means that our faith must be demonstrated through our actions. Obedience to God's commands is the living evidence of our faith. We cannot claim to have faith in God if we are not willing to obey His instructions. A classic example of this truth is found in the story of Abraham. In Genesis 22, God commands Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. This was an extreme test of obedience. Abraham demonstrated his faith by being willing to obey God, even in something so painful and incomprehensible. God intervened and provided a ram for the sacrifice, showing that He rewards faithful obedience. Another parable that illustrates the importance of true obedience is the parable of the sower, found in Matthew 13:3-9. Jesus tells the story of a sower who spreads seeds, which fall on different types of soil. Only the seeds that fall on good soil grow and produce fruit. Jesus explains that the soil represents people's hearts, and the seed is the word of God. In Matthew 13:23, Jesus says, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This shows us that true obedience to God's word leads to a fruitful life. Sincere obedience is evidenced by the fruits we produce in our lives, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. Jesus is the supreme example of obedience. Philippians 2:8 tells us, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus' obedience to the Father was perfect and complete. He came into the world to do God's will and fulfilled that will to the end, even if it meant dying on the cross. We are called to follow Christ's example in our own obedience. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." Following in Jesus' footsteps means obeying God in all areas of our lives, even when it is difficult or costly. The Bible promises blessings and rewards for those who obey God. In Deuteronomy 28:1-2, we read, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." These blessings include prosperity, health, security, and peace. While the specific blessings may vary, the principle is clear. God rewards obedience. In the New Testament, Jesus promises eternal life and indescribable joy to those who follow him and keep his commandments. Just as obedience brings blessings, disobedience brings curses. In Deuteronomy 28:15, we read, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." These curses include sickness, failure, defeat, and suffering. Disobedience to God separates us from his blessings and protection. It sets us on a path of destruction. The history of Israel in the Old Testament is a continuous example of the consequences of disobedience. When the people of Israel obeyed God, they prospered. When they disobeyed, they suffered. Obedience is not just a part of our Christian life, it is central. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Our love for Jesus is demonstrated by our obedience to his commandments. Obedience is the practical expression of our love and faith. Obedience to God is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:4 tells us that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. the Holy Spirit empowers us to obey God, guides us, and strengthens us.